You're listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco 99.9
Dr. Michael Youssef,
FM.
With a question to begin this episode of Leading the Way Audio.
Why did God even give us the Ten Commandments when He knew that no one can ever keep all of them all of the time perfectly? Why did He give them to us? Good question. You see, He gave us the Ten Commandments as a light that shines into a messy room, which is every one of our hearts, to show us how dirty the room is. That's what the Ten Commandments, that light that's shining into our lives and says, we're sinners. There's only one person who can sweep the room clean, and His name is Jesus.
Old Testament law, it can be really confusing. But the law clearly reveals our need for the gospel and for God's grace. This is Leading the Way with pastor and international Bible teacher, Dr. Michael Youssef. Today, a message he's called, The Truth is the Truth is the Truth. A reminder of freedom available through Jesus, offered to all, but through an incredible price. Here now is Dr. Michael Youssef, passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth on Leading the Way.
Western civilization was built on biblical morality and biblical foundation. Western civilization as a whole was founded on moral absolutes. Western civilization was established on God as the author of the moral law. Western civilization has developed as the nectar of God's moral standards. Western civilization was weaved by the thread of God's moral law. And therefore, whenever the foundation begins to crumble, society will crumble. When the thread is pulled out of the tapestry, the fabric will fray. When the essence is driven away, we will end up with a flimsy, poor imitation of the real thing. Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them." What is Jesus saying here? Jesus is saying that He is the author of the law, that He is the authenticator of the law, and therefore He did not come to abrogate the law. In fact, He is saying that unless our righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, we have no chance of making it to heaven. The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who coexisted together before ever there was an ever, is one God. One God, not two, three, one. And so in Exodus 20, when God spoke to Moses and gave him the Ten Commandments, when it says, God spoke these words and said, the triune God is the one who authored the law. Jesus, therefore, is the author of the commandments. You see, some of you have asked, why did God even give us the Ten Commandments when He knew that no one can ever keep all of them all of the time perfectly? Why did He give them to us? Good question. You see, He gave us the Ten Commandments as a light that shines into a messy room, which is every one of our hearts, to show us how dirty the room is. That's what the Ten Commandments, that light that's shining into our lives and says, we're sinners. There's only one person who can sweep the room clean, and His name is Jesus. And when God became incarnate, therefore, He kept all of the commandments all of the time perfectly without even breaking one even for a nanosecond. And that is why He is the only one. Not only He could keep the commandments, and therefore He was the only one who could be acceptable to God the Father because He's perfect. And when Jesus said, I came not to abolish them, but to fulfill them, he was saying that they are important, and they are important for a reason. You see, during Jesus' earthly life, the Jews always referred loosely to the law in four different ways. Sometimes referred to the law, they referred to the Ten Commandments. Other times, they would refer to the first five books of the Bible. Other times, when they said the law and the prophets, they're referring to all of the Old Testament. Then the other time, this is the fourth one, it's important. When they refer to the law, they are referring to the interpretation of the rabbis of the Old Testaments, that their body of interpretation that is embodied in a book called the Mishnah. And they took those words of these rabbis through the years of burdening people with all sorts of stuff and made them equal and authoritative to the Word of God. And every time you see Jesus debating with the Pharisees and condemning the Pharisees and calling them hypocrites and calling them sons of the devil and he calling them white sepulcher, every time you see that, it is because he was telling them, you are elevating the Mishnah, you are elevating the interpretation of the rabbis to the level of the scripture. You have misunderstood what my original intention was. And he began to show them what the Bible really means. You see, it's throughout the scripture. Let me give you just one example. Take the commandment of keeping the Sabbath holy. God's original intent, he knows our nature, he created us. He knows by nature we're going to be working and work and work and work and work. And, you know, and the internet and the iPhone and the iPad and Twitter and Facebook. And that's why he said there's one day in which you stop working and you focus on me and meditate on me and meditate on my goodness and my mercy, on my grace. That is the purpose, to take one day of rest to focus on God. But what happened, the rabbis came in and they said, well, what does it mean to break the Sabbath? Oh, there must be carrying a load, must be breaking of the Sabbath. Well, but we've got to explain that, what it means to carry a load. So then the group of rabbis come in and said, well, let's say this, that any weight that is heavier than a fig is breaking of the Sabbath. Any milk that's heavier than one swallow is breaking of the Sabbath. Carrying more than enough oil to place on a wound is breaking the Sabbath. Or carrying more than enough water to moisten your mouth, it's breaking of the Sabbath. Or carrying more than enough paper to write a note on is breaking the Sabbath. And it goes on and on and on. Can you see why Jesus got mad at them? I can get mad at that too, because I can't keep all this stuff up. And the Pharisees got so bogged down on all of these details of the interpretations by the rabbis and the Mishnah, burdens that are totally useless. And therefore Jesus, who was condemning them for this type of interpretation, and when Jesus referred to the law, he here specifically referring to the Ten Commandments and the prophets, which is the teaching of the prophets. And he came to fulfill all of them. All of the prophets prophesied about Jesus coming. That's why all fulfilled in Jesus. And what Jesus is saying is this, that God the Son did not come to destroy or abolish what the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have authored, but he came to fulfill those commandments. And he's the only one who could. He's the only one who could. He came to authenticate the commandments and the prophets. Jesus did not come with a completely different body of teaching like some of those people, the false teachers are teaching. No, he came to fulfill. He came to accomplish. He came to complete, to authenticate the Old Testament. And it returned it to its original purpose, namely prophesying of his coming. But we also know that in the first five books in the Old Testament, there are three types of laws. There is the ceremonial law, there is the judicial law, and there is the moral law, which is the Ten Commandments. You see, the ceremonial law ended with Jesus, for he became the perfect sacrifice acceptable to the Father. Therefore, the sacrificial system ended with him. So is the judicial law. It ended with Israel because it was specifically for the nation of Israel. When Israel was dispersed, the judicial law has ended, but not the moral law, not the Ten Commandments. And the reason the ceremonial law ended with Jesus is because it was the shadow. When the person shows up, the shadow is not important. It was a symbol. And when the real thing comes, the symbol is not important. You see, Aaron was the very first high priest in the Old Covenant. But he could not compare with the great high priest in the New Covenant. You see, Aaron entered into an earthly tabernacle, but Christ entered into the heavenly tabernacle. Aaron entered into the Holy of Holies once a year, but Christ entered once and for all. Aaron entered behind the veil. Christ ripped the veil in two. Aaron offered many sacrifices, but Jesus offered only one sacrifice. Aaron sacrificed for his own sin as well as the sin of the people, but Christ offered himself as a sacrifice for the sins of others. Aaron offered the blood of bulls, but Christ offered his own blood. Aaron was a temporary high priest, but Christ is a permanent high priest. Aaron was fallible, but Christ is infallible. Aaron was changeable, but Christ is unchangeable. Aaron's sacrifices were imperfect, but Christ's sacrifice was perfect.
Amen.
Nor can the tabernacle be compared with Christ. The tabernacle had a door. Christ is the door. The tabernacle had an altar. Christ is our altar. The tabernacle had lamps, but Christ is the light of the world now and for eternity. The tabernacle had bread that had to be replenished, but Christ is the bread of life, both now and forever. And Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law and the prophets, but I came to fulfill them." But the question persists. Why? When God knew that none of us, could keep the commandments all the time, perfectly, when that's the only way to get to heaven. Why did he give them to us when he knew we cannot be saved through the Ten Commandments? Great question. You see, the law, the commandments are supposed to drive us to Christ. The law is supposed to bring us to the end of ourselves. And I said, "I can't do it. I cannot do it." And they said, "Now you're beginning. Come to me. I'm the only one who can forgive you." Amen. You see, the law is supposed to show us that we are lawbreakers. Otherwise, how do we know that we need Christ? But the law is supposed to show us that we are lawbreakers, and only when we recognize that I am a lawbreaker will I desperately need the forgiveness of Christ. Only when I get on the coattail of him who kept all of the law perfectly all of the time will I get forgiveness here and eternal life to come. Today, there are many a church who preach grace. Oh, don't get excited. That's not the biblical grace. They teach a different type of grace today. It is rampant. Believe me, more rampant than you realize. The grace they teach is a license to sin and promise security. They really do. They pervert grace. I think it was Spurgeon who once said, "There's no one who becomes holy by accident." Is it to be sure? We can never, never be saved by keeping of the Ten Commandments, because we can't. Because if that's the basis of salvation, no one will make it. But when we come to the one who fulfilled, accomplished, and kept all of the demands of the law, only when we come to him we are saved by grace, by his grace. What does grace mean once we are saved? Once we become the children of God by adoption. Listen to me very carefully. It does not mean that we continue in sin, so we experience more grace, as so many of these false teachers are teaching. Not in a million years. Why? Because grace gives us an aversion towards sin. Grace gives us power over sin. Grace gives us victory over sin. Grace makes us hate sin. Grace makes us repulsed by sin. And grace always drives us back to Christ every time we sin. That's different type of grace. I want to show you how what Jesus said, that living under grace does not mean promiscuity and living in sin so grace may increase, this kind of falsehood that's invading the church. He said in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, under the law, the act of adultery is a sin. Under grace, the thought of lusting is a sin. Under the law, the act of killing is a sin. Under grace, deep hatred towards someone is a sin. Grace is higher and purer, not slimier. Read the Sermon on the Mount. Under the law, when people sin, all they could do is wait for a year, and then at the end of the year, they go and they spend a hefty price in offering a sacrifice to atone for their sin, which cannot be permanently removed. But under grace, when we sin and immediately repent, we come and cry to the only one who paid the heftiest price of all for every one of our sins. And then we can be forgiven and healed. The requirements under grace are far higher, far greater, far purer than under the law. The difference is, under grace, we have the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, who convicts us, who brings us to repentance, who changes us, who indwells us, gives us the power over sin, something the Old Testament people did not have. This heresy, the more you sin, the more you experience God's grace, this is not new. It really isn't. It goes all the way back. Second century, there was a well-known heretic, famous heretic in the church by the name of Marcion. Marcion hated the Old Testament, and he rewrote the New Testament and took out all the references to the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, he rewrote Matthew 5:17. Here's how he wrote it. He said, I have come not to fulfill the law and the prophets, but to abolish them. That's what a lot of people teaching today. Second century, heresy. You know, the wicked Russian monk, Rasputin, who committed many wicked things, he began to teach in Russia to the hierarchy, to the elites. He began to teach this dreadful teaching that the more you sin, the more you experience God's grace. And he single-handedly helped get Russia plunged into totalitarianism and communism. Because that's inevitable. It's inevitable. See, false teaching not only destroys the church, it would destroy society. When grace turns into license to sin, wickedness will abound, and confusion and chaos will sit in, and totalitarianism will become inevitable. We're seeing it today. In America, we're losing our freedom every single day. Every single day, we're losing more freedom and more freedom and more freedom, because that's what this sin does. God's moral law are the reflection of God's character, and therefore, they are changeless and they are eternal. And that is why it is nonsense to say, because we are saved by grace, and therefore the Ten Commandments are irrelevant and obsolete. That's falsehood. How would we know grace if we have not realized that we are lawbreakers? Listen to what Paul said in Romans 6:15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. The law is necessary because it reminds us that we are sinful people, and it drives us deeper into the very heart of the only one who can forgive our sins. Jesus said, Matthew 5:20, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean? I mean, these guys, they were religious people. There are going to be a lot of religious people in hell. Did you know that? I mean, they were keeping all the little laws, even the interpretations of the rabbi. That's not how you make it. You see, only the righteousness that Jesus Christ imputes in us is the righteousness that is acceptable to God the Father.
And he looks at us and he says, I see you as righteous because Jesus' blood has covered you and covered all your sins. That is the only righteousness that exceeds that of the Pharisees and the scribes and the teachers of the law. Here's the difference between the Pharisees and the Bible-believing Christians. When we find ourselves serving God, doing things for God, serving Him with our heart, wherever, as we saw a sample of that, and many of you are involved in varieties of ministries, from prisons to schools to different ways outside in the mission field of where God has placed you. But when we do this, we don't take the credit for it. We don't look up to heaven and say, you know, the man upstairs really owes me something. You know, Lord, you owe me one. I've done good for you. I've done this for you. But the Pharisees did exactly that. It's exactly what they did. Instead of always giving God the glory, they sought the glory for themselves. Above all, we are forever standing in amazement at God's wisdom, at God's grace, that He would save us, that He would redeem us, that He would crush His Son on a cross, so that we who come on His coattails, believing in Him as not only Savior but the Lord of our lives, can make it to heaven. Stand in amazement, in awe. 21st century church problem is that we don't stand in awe of Him. In awe of His grace, in amazement at His saving us by grace alone. We stand in awe of that grace.
Thank you for taking the time for Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef. Heard on the radio, online at ltw.org, and through your mobile devices on the Leading the Way app. Leading the Way is available on iHeart, Spotify, Apple, and of course, on your favorite podcast app. And if you would like to talk about your faith journey with someone, maybe seek answers to questions that you may have, won't you consider starting that conversation online or on the phone with a Leading the Way pastor or counselor? Start by going to ltw.org/Jesus. ltw.org/Jesus.
Do you read the Bible as if your life depends on it? Well, you should. In Dr. Michael Youssef's book, How to Read the Bible, he reveals how the Bible guides you through life with faith and power. You'll understand that from the first pages of Genesis all the way through the last words of Revelation, God is pointing you toward the Lord who saves completely and eternally.
In a day when so many preachers are saying that we need to ditch the Old Testament, we need to give up the Old Testament, I'm going to show you in this new book, How to Read the Bible, that the two, Old and New Testament, are interrelated. You cannot have one without the other. One does not make sense without the other. And so I hope you're going to read that book and you're going to apply it to your life. It will strengthen your faith and your trust in the Word of God.
Learn how to get your copy of Dr. Youssef's book, How to Read the Bible, today when you visit ltw.org. ltw.org.
Again, the title, How to Read the Bible. And here's the number to speak to a ministry representative about how to get your copy or copies. It's 800-337-5323. That's 800-337-5323. And the website, ltw.org. ltw.org. Or you can even write to us. We love getting your cards and letters. Write to Leading the Way, Post Office Box 20100, Atlanta, Georgia, 30325.
As we bring today's episode of Leading the Way to a close, allow me to invite you also to watch Leading the Way television. Each week, dig into the truth of God's Word and be challenged to love and serve the Savior. Leading the Way television is available in most areas on TBN, Daystar, NRB, INSP,
TCT, GodTV, Fox Business, and more. Visit ltw.org for details.
This program is furnished by Leading the Way with
Serving
Dr.
the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are in tune to 1510 AM, WWBC, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Hydesville, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, on FM 94.7. Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are in tune to 1510 AM, WWBC, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Hydesville, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the beaches on FM 94.7.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We welcome you to the Life Center Church, Titusville, Florida. Deeper in God Outreach Ministry broadcast. I pray that this message in some way will be an encouragement as we follow Jesus all the way. Let us move into today's broadcast. Amen. Amen. First thing, in talking about a father, I found out that it's not easy being a father. It's not the easiest thing to do, especially nowadays. Especially in the time that we're in, being a father, there's so many things, so much going on in this world. There's so much going on in the world. So we have a task, we have a challenge as fathers to be father in our homes. I'm going to look at a few things this morning regarding us fathers. It's not all that the word say about us, but I want to look at a few things that will probably help us along the way to be that father that God can look at and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Now listen, fathers, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. And listen, our first responsibility is really to love the Lord. Our first responsibility as fathers is to love the Lord. And I found out that we can learn how to love the Lord and get into a place where we love the Lord, it's going to make our assignment much easier. We'll be able to deal with our children a little bit better. Because I've been through some times, I'm here to tell you, like I say, raising children is not an easy task for fathers nor for the mothers. We're not by the mothers, but it's Father's Day, so we're going to look at the fathers, you know. Because we all have something to impart into our children. Now, fathers, our first responsibility is to love the Lord. And in Matthew 22:36, it tells us how much we should love the Lord. And my thing this morning, fathers, do we love the Lord? I'm not talking about do I know the Lord, but do we love the Lord? Matthew 22:36, they ask him here and say, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And you should be able to do it where the people will see your love. People will see your love. Your household shall see your love. He said, this is the great and foremost commandment. Love, our love, our love. Father, we got to be in such a place that our love, that we love God, our families, our children will see it, our wives will see it, our friends will see it. They will see that we are in love with the Lord. The songwriter say, falling in love with Jesus. Woo. When you fall in love with Jesus, it's going to bring change in your home. It's going to be change in our home, and a lot of things trying to get and we want to happen, but we need God's love. We want things to happen in our homes. We need God's love. That's the first thing. Fathers have the responsibility to love the Lord. Amen. No, fathers, we have the responsibility not only to love the Lord, but to fear the Lord. And when I say fear the Lord, I mean have a reverence for the Lord. Have a reverence for the Lord. Somebody ought to be able to see your reverence for God as well as they see your love for God. Man, he respect the Lord. Man, he honor God. Everything come out of mouth, he's talking about God. Y'all remember the time when I don't know about in your household, but in my household, it was a time when we were growing up, we had our oil bottle that we went through the house every now and then. And we went through the house with it. We anointed everything was in their house. We are anointed. I tell you, we get up in the morning. We get up. They may be asleep, but we go through with our oil bottle. We're going to put that speck on them in the name of Jesus. We're going to pray over them. We're going to come. Let me not get ahead of myself. Let me back up. We have the responsibility, number two, to fear and reverence God. Ecclesiastes 12 said this to all of us, as well to our fathers. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I think I'm going to need some more batteries. The conclusion when it all has been heard is to fear God, keep his commandments, Because this applies to who? Every person, to everyone. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything that we do. Every act that we, whether it's in our home, whether we're out, no matter what it is, it said that God will bring every act to judgment. Every act, we got to give an account. We have to give an account for everything that we do. That's saying a lot. That's saying a lot. Everything I do, I have to give an account. Yeah, but I'm not in church right now. I'm at the house. Nobody don't see what I'm doing. Because I found out a lot of times we change from here to the house. We like transformers. We transform into something else. I want to see the same person at home that I see at church. Why does that have to be a different? Because I may act good in church, but when I get home, I sure have to give an account at home. I have to give an account how I treat my children. I have to give an account how I treat each other. I have to give an account on my job. We have to give an account. So the same person that we is in church, the same respect we have for God in church, we got to have that same God in our homes. Do we have that same God at home? We pick him up when we come to church. Yeah, we know how to change. I've been down that road. I know how to change when I get to church and act holy. I know how to bless everybody, blessed, highly favored in the Lord. I know how to do that. And I knew how to get when I was home, how I used to act like Hades when I was home. Because my love wasn't right. Uh-oh. Can you mute everybody but me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But the devil don't want this message. I know he I should have been looking for him, amen. So we say we have to reverence God or fear God. We have to fear God. Somebody say fear God. We have to fear God, reverence him. That means that we're always going to give God respect. We're always going to reverence him. We know who God. Listen, God is God of my life. I'm not going to act any kind of way. I got to give God respect him. We ought to humble ourselves before God. He is God. Fear him. Give him his due respect. Give him his due respect, because a lot of times when we get around certain people, we have a tendency sometimes to change like that environment. But even in any environment that we're in, we still have to represent the kingdom of God. We still have to reverence God. Somebody in that group know that somebody in there fear God. If I'm going to bring a difference, I have to act like God. As he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. Let me.
I'm on now. All right. How you like that, though?
He don't like me. I don't like him either.
If you want to go blow for blow, we'll go blow for blow. Amen.
I'm serious. I love the Lord. Just today, I love the Lord. I don't know about anybody. I love the Lord, and I won't turn back. I love him. Amen. I'm a represent. I'm going to represent the kingdom. I'm going to respect my God. I'm going to respect my Savior. I'm going to reverence him. Men, we are reverencing God. Men, we are respecting God. No matter who else doesn't expect God, respect God. Men, we are to respect and honor our God. Amen. Amen. We're moving right along. Number three. No, let me back up for a minute, because what the word says here. Listen what the word says, because When we fear God, when we reverence God, that gives us an advantage. We have an advantage when we reverence God. Listen to what the word said. And I like this, because when I reverence God, that let me know that no matter what's going on, I'm not by myself. When I reverence God, I know that somebody is with me. I know that I'm not alone. Listen to what the word says. Psalms 34:7 said, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. If I feel the Lord, guess what? Somebody's encamping around me. Somebody have broke camp right around where I am. I know you don't see him this morning, but he here. I'm here to tell you, my angel is here. He encamps around me because of my fear that I have for the Lord. And since I know that he's here, when things begin to happen in my life, I know that I have somebody right there that's going to step up and say, all right, that's it. Oh, y'all quiet on me this morning. In the end of it, say, he rescues them. He fears that if I'm in God, the angel of the Lord, he's encamps around about me. And not only that, when I get to a place, he's my rescuer. Rescue me. All right. Number two is what? Fear God. Number three, we have to be our children's first teacher. We, fathers, we can put our mothers in there, but there's something about the father. It was a time when it came down to discipline, and that the mom would always say, wait till your daddy get home. Fathers, we ought to be our children's first teachers. We all know Proverbs 22 that says, train up a child in the way that he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart. But we are to train our children. We have number one responsibility. We are the first teachers. And it's so now that, you know, we got the social media. We got the school. Listen to the news. Even what they learn at school now, they try to tell you what and what not to teach our children. Whether it's in the school, whether it's in the government, or saying this law is passed, that law is passed. Listen, forget the law. I know one law, though. This law right here, this is what we stand on. We stand on the principles of God's word. I don't care what laws they pass in Congress. I don't care what laws they pass in the state. I don't care what anybody say, that they can say what they want to say. When it comes down to it, Father, you are the first teachers. And the thing about it, if you don't teach your children, somebody else will. They wonder where they get that from. Where is that coming from? Because we need to put some in their head. And believe it or not, they are listening to you. It may not seem like it. It may not appear that they are really listening. But whether you believe it or not, you're teaching your child something. Anybody, children, start cussing?
Well, it's that time again. Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. I pray that the word in some way was a blessing to you. We are the Life Center Church, located at 6770 South Washington Avenue in the beautiful city of Titusville, Florida. Our phone number is 321-383-4655. Join us, and by the way, of Zoom, for our Wednesday night Zoom Bible study beginning at 7 p.m. That information is also on our Facebook page. You can go to Facebook page and look at the information there regarding that Zoom Bible study. Also, join us on Sundays at 10:30. Yes, we are in the building on Sundays at 10:30 for our morning worship, followed by a live stream at 11 o'clock of our message through Facebook. It's been an honor. It's been a blessing to serve you with the Word of God. Do keep your trust and your confidence in God. His word decreed that he will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. So we know that we are not alone, and we know that we are not forsaken. I pray that God will continually bless you. Once again, we are located at 6770 South Washington Avenue in the beautiful city of Titusville, Florida. Tune in next week, same time, same station. And until then, this is Pastor Owens saying, be blessed and know that you are highly favored in the Lord.
Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are in tune to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, and FM 94.7. Thank you.
had some weary days, yeah, yeah, some lonely nights. When I look around and think things over, all of my good days outweigh my bad days. I won't complain. Sometimes the clouds hang low.
Whenever you think about the condition of our world, whenever you watch the news, whenever you read the newspaper, there's always bad news. Kind of makes you long for a place that the Bible talks about where the wicked will cease from troubling and the weary will be at rest. I want to put it in songs, express the way I feel. wanna go where the thunder don't roar.
Where the thunder don't roar.
There where chilly winds don't blow.
Chilly winds don't blow.
I wanna go above where the rain don't blow.
When I leave this world
to return.
To return.
When I leave this world,
oh yeah,
to return no more. Let me say that one more time. I wanna go, boom, 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 where the thunder don't roll.
Where the thunder don't roll.
Wanna go somewhere where chilly winds don't blow. Well, the rain don't fall. When I want to leave
this world,
oh,
to return no more.
When I leave,
this world,
to return.
To return.